ஏன்னா தேர் சோ மச் டு சி இன் த ரிஸ்டோர்ட் பபிலோன் தட் வாஸ் பில்ட் பை சதாம் ஹுசைன். அண்ட் ஐ டோல்ட் லோரேட்டா மை டாட்டர், வி வர் ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஹியர் இன் திஸ் ஹியூஜ் என்ட்ரன்ஸ் டு ஹிஸ் பேலஸ். தட் இட் இஸ் சோ இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டு ஸ்டடி த ஹிஸ்டாரிக்கல் பபிலோன் இன் ஆர்டர் டு அப்ரிஷியேட் த ரெவலேஷன் பபிலோன். திஸ் இஸ் த ஒன் ஆஃப் த ஸ்டோர் ரூம்ஸ், த கூல் ரூம்ஸ், த ஃப்ரிட்ஜ், the deep freeze. What Nebuchadnezzar did, they got snow from the Taurus mountains in Turkey, floated down the river Euphrates, and then he stored it in here. But you know, when I visited here, every time I visit here, I walk in here, it is so cool, you cannot believe it. Yeah, this man was brilliant to design a place like this. I salute him. Now, this is still part of the cool room, the fridge, and this is the exit. This is a huge place. The king was here, his wife was here, the staff was here, different rooms. It took him a long time to build this site, and he used 60 million stones to build this. This is the huge room where they had their feasts. Maki, his name is Maki, he's unlocking a door, and then we go down to the bottom, and you see some of the original relief of the different gods of Babylon down here. And you talk to him, you know, you relive the Babylon of ancient times and the stories of the Bible. Here they're doing a little bit of restoration. And I had the privilege of taking one of these stones in my hands and look at the inscriptions there. So what you read on these stones, tiles, you read in the Bible. Confirmation of the Bible. Ishtar Gate to our left. So there it is. And this is the Ishtar Temple. It was originally built under Nabopolassar. That's the father of Nebuchadnezzar. And then rebuilt by Nebuchadnezzar. He used to restore these ancient sites. And then Nabonidus came. That was one of the sons of Nebuchadnezzar. And it was dedicated to the goddess Ishtar. In Sumerian, she was called Nana. Some more pictures of this Ishtar temple. And this is very important. The huge temple dedicated to Belmarduk stood here. Today, it's only an empty space. But it was the most magnificent temple of antiquity. This is my friend Andre. They're doing recordings here. The inner city walls, this was my guide. The old traditional city walls were rebuilt during the reign of Nabopolassar and his son Nebuchadnezzar II. There was Nebuchadnezzar I and Nebuchadnezzar II. They surrounded the city from all sides. Now just look at the size of these walls. The total measurement of these two walls was 25 meters. The chariots could travel on top there. It was impossible with the military equipment to destroy these walls. And the Babylonians thought that nobody would ever destroy their city. And it's good to get this info because the modern end time Babylon also has got the idea that they are indestructible. What else did they build here at Babylon? Nin-Muk Temple. There you see it. Now Daniel had to teach Nebuchadnezzar that there is only one God, the Creator God and the Savior of the world, a kind God, a pure God, because their gods were bad. Too bad to mention it here. Ninak Temple, an older temple, was rebuilt by Nebuchadnezzar II. It is situated east of the Ishtar Gate and called Emach. Mach in Sumerian, Akkadian, is big, great temple of the mother goddess Ninmak. Now another name for Ninmak is Ninhursag. Now Nin means female. Hur means mountain. And Sag is a holy place. So she was the mother goddess of the mountains and one of the seven great deities in the Sumerian mythology. Would you like to see this lady? There you are, displayed on one of the seals. She sits there and surrounded by smaller deities. I was telling Loretta of the great festivals of the ancient Persians. They enjoyed it on a yearly basis. Now, one of these festivals is called Nowruz. It's a combination of two words, new, noh, and Ruz. It means new day, new light. We're looking forward to new days and new light. And in a later lecture, we'll be looking at the Nowruz and what happened at Persepolis. Now, Daniel was exposed to the dangerous practices of witchcraft, but he never participated. If you participate with this stuff, it affects you negatively. Now, what was their New Year's festival called? That's in Babylon. It is called the Akitu Feast. And because it started on the first day of the Babylonian year, it was also called the New Year Feast. And there's a lot of literature written on the New Year feasts in antiquity. The bricks and the clay tablets tell us about a very impressive feast that took place here in Babylon. And this is exciting. The stones of the procession street tell a story. This was very famous. And this is what Daniel saw when he was here. The New Year's Day was marked by a solemn procession. The ancients loved processions. The union of Nabu and Marduk was symbolized by a visit which Nabu paid to his father Marduk. And Marduk was the chief of the Babylonian pantheon. In his ship, magnificently fitted out, Nabu was taken from Borsippa across the Euphrates River to Babylon. Now, do we have an indication of exactly where he went? This is very important. Well, the street was beautifully paved. He came this way. And everything was done to heighten the impressive Akitu ceremony. And was Daniel tempted to pay homage to the great gods of Akkad and Sumer? You know, everybody cheered these gods. And peer pressure could be very dangerous. Daniel never participated in idolatry. What an example. We should stay away from the dangerous stuff. Esagila Temple. So Nabu set the example of homage for other gods who were also supposed to assemble at the Esagila during the great festival. So first of all, Nabu came here, set an example for the other gods to come here. Esagila means the temple whose house is on top. It is a lofty place. And it was the temple of antiquity. God's temple in Jerusalem were housed in this temple. I wish we could have seen it in its pristine beauty. Now, don't look at the white. Look at the black. Now, this is a Sumerian word. Daniel would tell you that this was how the temple was written in Sumerian. So if you want to write temple in Sumeria, and here it is. Four looks up and two are left, they are horizontal. Here you see temple. And Daniel could read this. He could read Akkadian, he could read Sumerian. Oh man, he was a learned man. You know, looking at this huge excavated site with the magnificent Esagila temple of Marduk once stood, I visualize the Babylonian gods that were transported here. Of course, they couldn't move on their own. You had to guard them there. Would you like to see what some of them look like? Maybe you will not be impressed, but I'm going to show it to you. When this gentleman visited Babylon during the Akitu feast, his head was intact. I don't know what happened to the head. But anyway, here you've got one of them. I'm going to show you three, but there are more than 100. His colleague did not lose his head, but his arms were a little shorter, as you can see in the picture. Here you see Shorty and his friend. I think he was also called Shorty. A little ravaged, but they managed to attend the party. You know, this is just a big nonsense. Worshipping these images. One source I contacted, researched this, said that voices from the forefathers spoke through these images. So this was a kind of a spiritualistic region, and they got good feelings. But there's only one to be worshipped, and that's the Creator God who gave His Son to die for us. You know, watching these Sumerian deities in the Iraqi Museum, I thought of the following verse in Isaiah. Listen to this. 46:7. They bear it on the shoulder. You have to bear your gods on your shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place. Over there, my friend. And it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Now, how did Hammurabi greet Shamash, the sun god? Kiri Shumen. Look at him there. Kiri Shumen. Kiri Shumen. Three interesting words. I've discussed this before. Now, Shamash, who had to be carried to wherever they wanted to put him, could not hear the Kiri Shumesh greeting by Hammurabi. He couldn't hear him. He couldn't talk to him. You know, these gods were useless. They were just figments of the imagination of fallen people. There's only one that's worth worshipping. That's the Creator God. So what do these stones of the ruined temple of Esagila tell us about the next event in the Akitu festival? At one time, the cult of Nabu at Borsipa was regarded with greater sanctity than the Marduk worship in Babylon. I was surprised when I read this. By the way, he was a very, very famous god, Nabu. As a concession to the former supremacy of Nabu, the priests of Esagila carried him back to Borsipa. So he came to Babylon and they carried him back to Borsipa. Marduk accompanied him, but only halfway. So here father and son met, because Bel was the father, Nabu was the son. The route back to Borsipa was via the procession street. Can you imagine this great procession coming down here? People shouting and singing. Can you see the huge crowd accompanying the gods? And the gods were carried by the strong men. The men who visited the gym with the big muscles. Now Daniel watched this procession. He looked at these strong men carrying these gods. And Daniel knew what was going to happen. The runes tell us how they traveled from Babylon to the Ziggurat in Bosipa. There you see the Ziggurat of Bosipa. Do you think they completed the distance to Nabu's Ezida temple? Listen to the following vision of the prophet Isaiah. We also had one of Jeremiah, chapter 46, of Carchemish. And Isaiah experienced the same thing that Jeremiah experienced. The God's bell is just an abbreviation of Bel Marduk. The God's bell and Nebu are brought down in shame. He sees this in vision. He was never at Babylon. The statues of them are being carried away on the backs of animals. They used to be carried around by the people, so the people also carried them, who worshipped them. But now they've become a heavy load for tired animals. Who is Bel? Who is Nebu? Ancient Mesopotamian pattern god of literacy, rational arts, and scribe of wisdom. In Greek, we have the Logos in the Bible. Nabu was this kind of god, and Bel Marduk his father. Now, during the New Year's feast, the king took, as they call it in Akkadian language, hands of Marduk. Not only the hands of Marduk, but the hands of Nabu and of Marduk. And then Nebuchadnezzar, or whatever Babylonian king reigned at that stage, got permission from the gods to rule for the next year. This was a procession, and you can check this on the internet. I'm just giving you a little bit of data. Took a picture of Bel Marduk in a museum in Istanbul. He's represented by feet of an eagle, look down, body like a lion, and his head and tail from the snake. It looks like a snake. So he's a mixture of different animals. Man and the people love to worship Marduk. And Nebuchadnezzar madly worshipped him. Ishtar Gate in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin. If you ever get to Berlin, please visit the Babylonian exhibitions. Just a reminder, Nebu paid a yearly visit to his father Marduk. But remember, he was carried there, and Marduk was also carried. They will only stand where you put them. Otherwise, you've got to carry them. Then his father Bel Marduk, left Ishtar Gate and accompanied him halfway to Borsipa. Now, what did Isaiah see in this vision at this specific stage? He is at the Akitu feast in vision. I had to take this picture of, this is in the Pergamon Museum in Berlin, of a strange-looking horse-type mule. I don't know exactly what it is. The strong Babylonians could not carry their gods for too long a distance. Have you ever tried to carry a kilogram of worry or upsetness? Eventually, this negative emotion feels heavier and heavier and heavier. They become tons that you carry along. That's why the Bible says forgive. If you don't forgive, it becomes heavier and heavier. And this is what happened in Babylon. Bel and Nebu are brought down in shame together. It was simultaneous. They aren't able to save their own statues. They themselves are carried off as prisoners. What a disgusting, embarrassing circus. I think the young people watching the scene burst out in laughter. Here are teenagers, I like them. Isaiah had a vision of how the mighty Babylonian gods went into exile. This is what he saw in that vision. Now, when did this happen? Isaiah, are you sure about your facts? Let's check it. When Sennacherib destroyed Babylon in 689, Marduk and other valuables were taken to Ashur. So this Assyrian king, he was also at Jerusalem. He took the gods, took them off to Nineveh. Their gods could not even protect themselves. And to a certain extent, Isaiah, under inspiration, is a bit sarcastic. He wants to show the uselessness of their gods and the marvelous experience when you visit the real God who created you. They lifted up, that's the gods, Bel and Marduk, on their shoulders and carry it. Can you see this? They set it up in its place, and there it stands. It can't move from that spot. Someone might cry out to it, but it does not answer him. It can't save him from his troubles. Carried their gods on their shoulders. Listen to this beautiful message of hope and comfort for God's people who were in exile at that stage. And also a message for your heart and my heart. Listen to me. Beautiful pathos. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. Remember, they made a mess. They're in exile because of their sins. God speaks to them. And all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me. And then he says something from birth. When did God start looking after us? When we were born. From birth, who had been carried from the womb. Now, this is interesting. They carried their gods. God says, I carried you from birth. So what do these verbs tell us? Upheld. Carried. Our God carries you. He carries me. Look at this picture. You know, when Loretta was born, man, I gave her so many kisses. I think it's in the Guinness Book of Records. I waited for this little premature for 9 years. And I just kissed her and kissed her. And she came so close to my heart through the many kisses, I think. There was also an indescribable joy in God's heart when you were born. Do you realize how much God loves you? Sometimes we must just stop worrying, criticizing, thinking negatively, and just appreciate God's love for you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. You know the verse. I will continue to carry you, not only from birth, even when you are old. Are you an old man or old woman? He has a promise. Don't worry. Trust. It says, I will take good care of you, even when your hair is gray. And listen to this. I have made you, he's the architect. Architect. I have made you different. You are unique, limited edition. And I will carry you. You know, sometimes we want to carry the world. He says, no, I'll carry you. I will take care of you. Are you looking for a caretaker? He says, I will carry you. But that's not all. And I will save you. You know, sometimes when I look at myself, I said, God, how can you save a man like me? But when I read promises like this, I say to myself, how can I get lost? He wants to get me there. So he says, and I will save you. And then he writes his signature there. I am the Lord. Man, the Lord can save sinners like you and me. How many verbs do you count here? Who's responsible for our final salvation? He. Allow him to save you, my dear friend. Do you still remember these nappies? Man, they were not waterproof. So what happened when Loretta was on my lap? I just felt something warm and I knew what happened. Shameful behavior from the bottom to the top. I did not reprimand her. I did not push her away. I even loved it. Loved her a little more. I suppose you've had the same experience with yours. What is God trying to tell us? I removed that wet nappy. I removed it carefully, and carefully whatever had to be removed. I kissed that soft baby stomach and covered her with Johnson's baby towel. That smelled a little different. And then I would lay her down in a little cot. And every time I did this, I prayed for my child. I've never stopped praying for her. Don't stop praying for your children. What was the content of my prayer? What is the content of your prayer for your child? When she gave the first few steps, she kept on falling. She was a bit overweight. I picked her up. That crying little baby, I picked her up without reprimanding her. Try and walk decently. No. It was a picking up business. And God wants to tell you and me to see him in the light of earthly parents with their infants. Instead of reproaching her, I embraced her in my arms, took her hand and said, let's try again. When you fall, if we treat our children in such a loving, caring manner, what about God looking after us babies? We stay babies. At times when my fallen nature was too heavy for my weak spiritual legs of self-denial, I fell. But he was always there to pick me up and embrace me in his arms of loving forgiveness, never ever reproaching me. He does not allow me to lie devastated on the ground of shame and self-reproach. This is where David landed. He bends down and picks me up with his strong, loving and redeeming arms and puts me graciously back on my feet. Can you still remember the days when your dear little one first attempted to walk? How did you react? This is the way God treats us when we slip and fall. No reproach. You know, the devil wants to make of God a caricature. Cruel God. No. He's a picking up God. I've made you. I'm the architect. And I will carry you. Speaking to you and me personally, I will take care of you. Give all your burdens to you. He wants to take care of you. And I will save you. You cannot save yourself. I will save you. Signature, I'm the Lord. I can do it. Do you believe it? That he can save somebody like you? spite of your past record. I love this. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He wants me to see him in a little miniature way in my dealings with my child and your child, to try and appreciate his goodness. I once spoke to a mother. His son was hanged eventually. In those days, they used to hang people. But you know, she spoke in such a loving way about the dear son. And this is how God speaks about us. Father in heaven, thank you for bending down to our fallen situation and lifting us up by your gracious, forgiving, loving arms. Amen.